You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay. Millie.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. I want to thank you for making us part of your regular routine. Hey, 2 days in a row in July. Not bad for us. We're the Rain and Jays. John Corrales here from MassLive.com, joined by the kid from The Athletic. Today's show, it's all about over-unders. We're going to look at some of last year's stats, and we're going to spend the entire half hour or so just thinking who's going to do better, who's going to do worse, whatever. You know how over-unders work. So we'll do that. Let's just dive into it, Jay. Unless you have opening comments, Jay. Any opening statements for the people?
I just want the people to realize that we are heroes.
As soon as you said people to realize, I'm like, oh, God, where is this going?
We are heroes for coming up with topics to discuss in late July when there's nothing going on and we really don't know what the team will look like. There are no compelling issues to address. But here we are. Over-unders for the listener gods.
That's it. So let's dive into it. This is how it's going to work. So let's start with, like, Jason Tatum. So the over-under on Jason Tatum, let's start with points per game. So last year he averaged 15.7. He's averaged 14.8 over his career or 2 year career. He will have theoretically more opportunity. So I'm going to set his over under at 17.5 points per game. Over or under, Jay? Jason Tatum averaging 17.5 points per game.
I've got the over on that one.
Ooh.
I'm thinking he'll average about 19.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
So I think he'll get to the free throw line a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll cut out some of the dumb shit and become a little more efficient than he was last year.
Okay. So then in that case, since you think he'll get to the free throw line a little bit more, let's do an over-under on Jason Tatum free throws per game this season. He's basically taken 3.2 and 2.9, so he's right about 3. So I'm going to say over-under free throws attempted per game for Jason Tatum is 4. What do you think?
Right around 4. We'll go push.
Oh, come on. No, over-under. It's not over-under push. That's the whole point of over-under.
Fine, over. Over, but barely over.
Okay, I agree. Now, first of all, let me answer the question. Like, I think over 17.5, but the reason I said 17.5 is I think there's going to be a lot of points to go around. So between him, Kemba, Jalen, Hayward, you're going to need Enes Kanter to score. I mean, there's going to be a lot of points going around. Marcus Smart, I know he'll get more opportunity. I agree with that. 17.5 is, I'll go over, but I'm not 100% sure on that, which is why I said it there. I do like the idea of him getting to the line 4 times a game. I'm going to optimistically say over, but I think right about 4 is right about right. So now let's go to his 3-point. Yeah, go ahead.
So I've got one question that I've been thinking about, and it's something I was thinking about during a piece I've been writing for The Athletic. Shout to The Athletic. Plug.
A fine publication.
But one of the things that kind of I've been trying to plot out the rotation the Celtics will have or could have. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I have kind of debated internally is whether Jason Tatum should play most of his minutes alongside Kemba Walker or have a chance to have the offense run through him. And the reason I've debated is because, one, Tatum has done a lot of his best work, his most efficient work, as a secondary piece. But two, he also showed in the playoffs a couple years ago, and obviously with some of his potential, that like there's more to him. And I don't know whether he needs to have pick and rolls run through him or be used in different ways, but like there's a primary playmaker in there somewhere. And I think he deserves a chance to have at least some stints where the offense is run through him rather than Kemba or Gordon Hayward or Marcus Smart or somebody else. So I'm intrigued to see how Brad Stevens kind of handles that this year. And I think there's a chance Tatum comes in and is just really, really damn good from day one and kind of states his case to get a lot of those touches and have the offense run through him. But there's also the other side of that where maybe he's less efficient again like he was last season and continues to take bad shots and you're better off running the offense through other ways. So I just think that's one of the questions that kind of needs to be answered about the Celtics season is
sure
who the offense will run through when Kemba's not on the court.
Well, I definitely think that that's something that's going to be worked out as the season goes on. You obviously have Marcus Smart as a point guard that you can lean on. You have Gordon Hayward who can run an offense. And you do have the emergence of Tatum who may be able to run an offense at some point, you know, and maybe you have a scenario where it's Tatum and Hayward together and each takes turns kind of initiating the offense. I think there are a lot of things that are on the table that in the early parts of the year, as is Brad Stevens' style in that October, November, December area, there are going to be some experimenting with lineups. So I think it's worth exploring that. Maybe you sub Tatum out and maybe you start Hayward on the bench again and you sub Tatum out early and this way he comes in with second units and he gets to run some of the offense and kind of explore that possibility. I think that's definitely worth looking at. And then he'll get probably a good mixture. And part of the Kemba Walker experience will be him, as he had said, like he doesn't have to do everything like he did in Charlotte. So there's going to be some feeling out. There's going to be some chemistry stuff, which going back to yesterday's podcast, it'll be great for them to discuss that while playing together on Team USA and kind of figure things out and really work. Maybe that's a good place to jumpstart some of this stuff and figure each other out where they like to play, how he likes to get the ball, blah, 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 blah. So that's all worth a discussion for sure. Back to the over-unders, since we were talking about Jason Tatum. His three-point shooting dipped. So he has a rookie year of 43.4 and a second year of 37.3. So I'm going to set his over-under at 37.8%. Over under 37.8% from three for Jason Tatum.
I would say right around there.
I'm auditioning for a job as a Vegas bookie. This is good.
I think the biggest key for the Celtics, though, is how much three-point versatility he has gained. Mm-hmm. Can he get those attempts up? Like, he's going to shoot at least a pretty good percentage. I think that's clear. He went through a long slump last year and still finished above 37%. He's going to make shots. I think the key is like, can he shoot more? Can he shoot off the dribble pretty well? Can he catch and shoot quicker, get more attempts off? Can he come around screens and do it? That's the key to me. One key that will help determine their ceiling and ultimately his ceiling is whether he can become more comfortable. Like you see, obviously Paul George is on a different level, but Paul George took a leap last season And part of that was because he became a lot more comfortable shooting the three-pointer and shot more attempts than ever before and did so without sacrificing any of his efficiency with it. So long-term, I think that's one of the keys. He'll be right around 38%.
Yeah. I'm going to say his shots go up, but his percentage goes down just a tick. Or actually, well, it's under. I'll say under, but like 37.5. It'll be, I think last year might be a little bit more right around where he ends up. I think the 43.4 is.
Yeah, that was probably an aberration.
Yeah. But yeah, who knows? Who knows? But I think right around that is what we can expect. But I wouldn't be surprised that if this team is a little bit more up-tempo and he gets a few more threes in transition and is encouraged to shoot more threes. So I wouldn't be surprised if his attempts go up a little bit, but his percentage kind of maybe it goes up a little, but I don't think he gets above 38%. That's Jason Tatum. Let's go to Jaylen Brown and do a few over-unders before we take a break here. Jaylen Brown, I want to do free throw percentage, which is it's so weirdly low that he's at 65.8% for his career over 3 years, which is what he shot last year. It doesn't make sense for a guy that can hit threes and who can finish pretty effectively that he's such a bad free throw shooter. So I'm going to say over under. Well, let's see if he figures this out. Over under, I'm going to pick a nice number here, 69%. Does he go over 69% or under 69% for this season?
Under.
Yeah. I don't get it.
Under that.
He's always been, but like, he's got to be able to figure this out at some point, right?
I don't know. Some guys just never do. Free throws are tough for some guys.
Sense.
It's got to be all mental because he has a good stroke. Obviously, 3-point shooting, like, he can shoot fadeaways. He almost never misses. Like,
man, I mean, he was mid-range fadeaways. Those were money.
Maybe he should just shoot mid-range fadeaways.
Wouldn't that be funny if he just got the ball, like spun it, bounced, and just faded away? I mean, shit.
I think we might be on to something.
That's it. That's going to be his new form. I'm going to optimistically say over, like, only because his shooting is good. I feel like there's something there, but he should be shooting at least, I mean, like 75, 76%. Like, I feel like he should be somewhere in that range. I'm going to say he shoots, maybe he doesn't quite crack 70, but and just for Weird Celtics Twitter, I think they need like Jaylen Brown shooting 69% from the line.
I think Stool Greeny needs it, man.
Let's go another over under for Jaylen Brown. Shot attempts. So his career average is 9.1, but that's, you throw out the rookie year. He got 11.5 2 years ago, 10.7 last year. Over under shot attempts for Jaylen Brown. I want to say that he's going to get more, but I don't know how much more. I mean, Jason
over Tatum, 12.
12? You want to set it at 12?
Over 12. And 12, and it's the over.
Okay. I'll set
that. And I say that because I think they're going to use some lower usage guys. I think, like, Grant Williams and Semi Ojeleye could split Marcus Morris's minutes. And I just think, like, there are going to be guys on the court who are more role players. Like, Daniel Tice will get some of Al Horford's minutes, maybe. And obviously Horford was never a big usage guy, but you're not going to be running much of your offense through Tice. So I also think Jaylen will probably play more minutes this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he averaged 26-ish a game last year.
All right.
I think he'll get at least a couple more.
Over under
so
minutes.
I'm going over on that one.
Okay. Over 12? I agree with you. Over 12. I think he's
going to. I think the perimeter guys are going to have a lot on their plate this year.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, a whole lot on their plate.
Let's go over under minutes with Jaylen Brown. 2 years ago was 30.7. Last year was 25.9. He should definitely get more. Over under 30.2 minutes per game.
Under.
Under.
I think he's still the odd guy out of the starting rotation and maybe closing lineup.
Interesting.
I think Marcus Smart might still be the starter. Obviously, there's going to be some competition there, and it'll all depend on what lineups Brad Stevens thinks. Obviously, I think it's weird because the Celtics, like, their five best players are all guards.
Yeah.
If you're considering Gordon Hayward and Jason Tatum guards, which you might as well, like, they're perimeter-minded wings, whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically five best players are guards. I think Jalen, a lot of the times last year with some of the same guys plus Kyrie Irving, was the odd guy out, and I wouldn't be shocked if that happens again.
Okay. No, I think he gets somewhere in the 30-minute range. I'll say over.
Again, you know what I think could really help him get more minutes, if he does, is if he can take another step guarding the power forwards of the world.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because, like, if you can get away with playing him at stretch four, and maybe you can next to, you know, a high rebound guy like Cantor or Poirier, who led the EuroLeague in rebounds, then that opens up more minutes for him, because obviously, like, I think Gordon Hayward's probably going to start at power forward, and then there are definitely minutes to be had behind him in that role. So we'll see how everything goes. But that defensive versatility, the more he can do it, the more he'll be able to get on the court, even though they have so many perimeter guys.
I agree. That's a good point. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll do Kemba Walker, the new guy, and Gordon Hayward coming back after that year of recovery. And then in the last segment, we'll do team over-unders. So stick around. We're going to be right back on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Okay, we've done Jason Tatum, we've done Jaylen Brown, the two young guys who are going to get more minutes, over-unders. Now we're going to talk about Kemba Walker, Gordon Hayward. Let's start with Kemba. Now, Kemba came over and said that he enjoys the possibility of having to do less. So let's start with field goal attempts for Kemba Walker. Last season, he took 20.5 shots. Prior to that, it was all in the high teens, mid to high teens. So considering he's going to do less, let's say over-under shot attempts for Kemba is 18.5 per game. What do you think?
Over. Over.
I don't mind that. I think it's be a little bit more up tempo, so I wouldn't mind. I think somewhere around 19 shots per game, even though maybe his usage might drop a little bit. I think he'll still. I like the over on that.
Yeah, Kyrie was at 18.5 last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be probably right around there.
Yep.
He's going to get those touches, and Celtics, I think they'll probably put even more of a heavy load on Kemba than they did on Kyrie because they don't have Al Horford anymore. So we're going over.
We're going with the over. If he does less with that, then maybe he's going to pass more. So let's do the over under on assists for Kemba Walker. His career average is 5.5. His career high is 6.1. Last year it was at 5.9. So I'll go with 6 assists per game, right above, a little bit above last year. 6 assists per game, over, under, Jay.
Under.
Under, really? Why is that?
Because he's had 5 straight seasons of under that.
Okay. Fair enough. I mean,
I'm just going with history here.
Uh-huh.
But he's passing to more talented dudes now.
Much better players.
Yes.
I think by virtue of him passing, just the amount of passes, if he plays the exact same way, that 5.9 goes up to like 6.4 or something like that. Like, it's another half assist per game just by guys finishing. Pick and rolls with Enes Kanter. I got to say it right. Enes Kanter. Pick and rolls, Dennis Kantor. He'll look, the dude can finish. If there's one thing Kantor can do, it's score the ball. Two things he can do is score the ball and rebound. So I think he'll get – he hasn't had a pick and roll.
And troll.
And troll. That's, yeah. But on the court, he can do those things. And, you know, driving kick out to Tatum, Hayward, Brown. I mean, those are some shooters out there that can really spread the floor. I think he'll get – in fact, I think six assists – I'm going to take the over. I think he can get up to – I think he can set a career high.
All right. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be the most shocking thing ever.
Okay. And the other thing I want to get into is his free throw attempts as well, because he likes to drive. Again, pick and roll. He'll get in there. I wonder if him being on a different team, a better team, might entice the refs to give him a couple extra calls. Career average is 4.7, but the last 2 years he's been at about 5.5. I think he'll go up a little bit, so I'm going to set the over-under at 5.7 free throw attempts per game.
So are you expecting the best season of Kemba's career?
I'm expecting him to have a very good season, yes. I think if just by virtue of him being around better teammates, he will – maybe his scoring, his average – might go down a tick or two. He was at 25.6 last year. Maybe it'll be like 23 or something like that, just by getting a couple fewer shots. But I mean, who knows? He could make up for that by being more efficient and not shooting 43% from the field, by shooting a little bit better from the field, shooting a little bit better from three, and getting a couple extra free throws. I do think he will have not a just groundbreaking, oh my God, Kemba first team all NBA type of season, but I think he can end up being more efficient just by virtue of having better teammates.
Certainly possible. I see that within the realm of possibilities.
Certainly possible. That is high quality podcasting there, Jay King.
Elite stuff. That's truly, truly great analysis.
Podcasting. All right, let's go on to, this is interesting. Gordon Hayward. Because now we know what he used to be, we know what happened to him, and now we're going to see where he settles. So, Gordon Hayward he only averaged 20 points per game once, 21.9 the year before he left in Utah. Now, obviously, last year was 11.5. I don't know if he's going to get up to 20 points per game again. But let's say, over-under points per game for Gordon Hayward is 17. What do you say?
Under.
Yeah, I feel like it might be a little high as I said it. But
just got to prove it to me.
Yeah. I might go under as well, but like, I think he can. I think that's a number he can reach.
Is there a chance that he returns to all-star form and plays his butt off and gives the Celtics another star? Maybe.
Yeah, I think there's a chance.
He certainly progressed a lot by the end of last season and played his best basketball before the Bucks series toward the end of last season by far. So he clearly got healthier, clearly got more explosive. How much of that leftover progress that he needs to make can he make? If he does those things, like, that changes things for the Celtics. But I just don't know just how much of that power he's going to get back.
Again, I've obviously been very high on Hayward from the beginning. But recognizing that, he lost last summer due to that second surgery. Now he's got a healthy summer to work through a lot of the confidence things. I don't know how much that situation last year really hurt him. People talked about guys being pissed that Hayward was getting those minutes. If that was happening, I don't think that Hayward was immune to that. And I don't think that Hayward particularly liked being in that situation. Like, he knew exactly who he was and what he was struggling to do. And I think that he is a very unselfish type of guy. Like, I don't think that situation was great for him either. So I think this summer is important to him. An underrated aspect to this is that he is going into next season like Al Horford went into last season, with an option year for 2020-21, where he's going to make $34 million. And you say, on the surface, why would you give up $34 million? But he how old is he now? He's going to be – so he's 29. His birthday, he's going to turn 30 next season. It's possible that he could opt out and look for a 5-year deal with Boston to take him to 35. And if he has a good season, that could be financial incentive for him as well. So there's an underlying contractual thing there with Gordon Hayward. So let's not sell that part short as well. Like, if he has a totally shitty season, then he'll just opt in and take as much money as he can. But if he has a good season, then he might be able to do what we were talking about Al Horford doing last year. So there's that at play as well. Let's go to his 3-point shooting percentage, which has been historically really good. Like, that's one thing that he can do very, very well. The season before he came to Boston, when his last season in Utah, he shot almost 40%. Last year he struggled. I thought his shot was going to be better last year than it was.
You did.
I did. I very much did. I was wrong. So, but let's go with his 3-point shooting percentage. I think it bounces back, but how much does it bounce back? Over under 37% shooting from three for Hayward.
Under.
You don't think he gets that shot back?
Career 36.4. He's had some good years. He's had some bad years. Four of the last five full seasons he's played, he's been under 37%.
Right. That's true.
So I'm going under.
Going under. Well, I, as the Hayward optimist, will say over 37%. Like 37, like, I think he's going to shoot like what Tatum shoots. Like, I think he's going to figure that out. But again, I've been high on Hayward. I think it's there. So all of his scoring numbers, I think, will definitely increase. Let's go to his free throw attempts, because that's the one thing that he did very well. Now, he's been — you look at his history prior to coming to Boston, the last few years, he was right about 10 free throw. That's 2-pointers. Right about 6 free throws per game. So he still gets to the line a fair amount. Can he get back to that? Over under free throw attempts for Gordon Hayward, let's say 5.6 per game.
Under.
You're just not buying into the whole Hayward resurgence.
No, I think he'll have a good year. I think there's —
just say you hate Hayward, right?
There's a chance he feels totally healthy and has a great, great year. I just think 5.6 is too close to his career high, which is 6.1. Mm-hmm. That I just don't think he'll get there with the amount of other playmakers the Celtics have.
I'll go under as well. I will. But it'll be close. I think he'll get to the line a lot more. I think he can get to the line about 5.5 times per game. But you never know. Good surprise.
If he does, that's just such a lift for the Celtics.
Oh, huge. It would be huge.
They need those easy points. They need to have a guy who can get in there. And I'm giving out the the caveat, except for the Bucks series again.
Of course.
But before that, he was showing a lot more touch on his drives, getting the free throw line a little bit more, was really efficient toward the end of the season. So there is hope that he regained some of his powers last year with an offseason to get healthier and more confident again, that he can get a lot of those tools back. And that's certainly within the realm of possibilities, as I said before.
Certainly possible.
But I just think five might be high.
Okay. Fair enough. We'll come back. We'll do some team over-unders. Go ahead and check out the Locked On NBA podcast. I'm on the Wednesday Locked On NBA. It was me, Jake Madison. We talked about the Lakers and should they distance themselves from Magic Johnson. And the collective bargaining agreement, all of the stuff from Zach Lowe's piece about tampering, and get into my whole thing about too much money in the NBA. It's all on the Locked On NBA podcast. Go ahead and subscribe to that. We're coming right back with more over-unders here on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
On to the team over-unders. We'll do offensive rating, defensive rating, and wins. Let's start with the offensive rating. Last year, they were 10th in the NBA. Now, they're going to have a better offense, I think. So, let's say over-under Celtics offense in the NBA. 7th in the NBA, over-under.
They'll finish under. under. But there's a chance they go over.
That's the whole point of over unders.
I'm going under. I'm going under. They'll be 8th to 10th, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
I do think they'll be improved just because they shouldn't have a month and a half or whatever it was of them just playing the worst basketball of all time. They won't have that dragging them down, I don't think. I think Brad Stevens probably learned something about shot selection and will hopefully impart some of that on his players this year. And some of the players will hopefully pick up some of those lessons. And I just think Kemba brings a different energy to the Celtics offense than Kyrie does. Obviously, Kyrie was fantastic. Obviously, the Celtics offense was really damn good with Kyrie. I think Kemba's a little better at, like, actually breaking down a defense, and I think the Celtics need that. And then I think offensive rebounding could be a big, big strength of this team with Enes Kanter and then Poirier, who was at least a murderer on the offensive glass in Europe last year. Who knows if that will be the case in the NBA, but Tice is active too, and we'll see. There will be a lot on the plate of guys like Tatum and Hayward and Walker and Smart and Brown, but I think it might be good to kind of have more of a hierarchy this year. So there are things that could go very right with the Celtics offense. I'll say that there's a chance that they could be pretty damn good, although they will definitely miss Al Horford's guiding presence. And I also think Terry Rozier could be an addition by subtraction, just the way he played last year. He broke off a lot of possessions, and if you look at their net rating when he was on the court, it was just atrocious. So I don't know how they'll fill his minutes, whether it'll be Carson Edwards or Romeo Langford or Brad Wanamaker getting those minutes or what they'll do. But there's a chance, I think, that the way he played last year, his departure actually helps.
So why I think the Celtics offense will be better than last year is there are actually fewer scoring options. And I think that actually kind of helps a little bit. Guys who know at least more their roles. So if Carson Edwards comes in, you know he's there to shoot. And that's all he's there to do. And defend, obviously. But, he's not going to try to take over situations. If Grant Williams comes in, then he knows exactly what he's there for. Set picks, rebound, make the pass, make the right play. I think I'm totally on board with Terry Rozier. I think that was a big issue last year. So I think by virtue of a little bit more team chemistry, a little bit more structure, a little bit more hierarchy, all of that stuff, seventh is probably where they're going to, I would expect them to end up. I'll say sixth just because I'll just go over and say that they'll be the sixth best offense. I don't know. Part of it is going to be you look at the structure of the league. I think out west there's going to be, when you look at the numbers that go into offensive rating, there'll be some depressed numbers out west. That kind of, and the East is so bad that the Celtics numbers will be kind of pumped up a little bit. So I think sixth is a reasonable best case scenario. I'll say over on that. Defense is going to be interesting because they've lost their best defensive player in Al Horford and their next best defensive player in Aaron Baines, or you can flip those two around if you want.
Marcus Smart, if you listen to this podcast, may tear you limb from limb.
Okay, fine. So there's that. But they're still going to take a hit defensively. It's not like Kyrie was a defensive monster out there, but Kemba is not particularly great either, but he tries. Okay, so anyway, they were seventh last year. I don't think they're going to be seventh.
No, they're not.
They will take a hit. How far down will they slide? I will say there's going to be a lot of bad defensive teams out there too. Over under 11th.
Under.
Under. You'd be worse than the 11th in the league.
If they have an above average defense, Brad Stevens has done a fantastic job.
Okay.
Because, first of all, it's very tough to build a top defense around Enes Kanter, who is probably the front runner to start at center. Daniel Theis, I think he's a solid defender for the most part, but he has some real holes when it comes to guarding big, physical, big guys. The power forwards, they're going to be really small. They'll probably play Gordon Hayward at power forward sometimes. They'll probably play rookies, maybe Grant Williams and Semi Ojeleye, who's unproven, although he's a pretty good defender, obviously. But I just think they're going to be really small, and their centers aren't going to be good enough to kind of help them overcome that. I just think there's a lot that could go wrong with their defense, but they still have a lot of the switchability that kind of helped them out, is at least in their first unit with Hayward, Tatum, Brown, Smart, whoever starts out of that group. So they're going to need to lean on that versatility quite a bit because they don't have Al Horford anymore, and that's a huge, huge loss. And they don't have Aaron Baines anymore, and that's a huge, huge loss. And if you look at the numbers last year, like, they really slipped later in the season until they started Baines and Horford together, and both those guys are gone.
Right.
So it could be a steep drop unless Brad Stevens, he's built good defense before with not great defensive big men. And I think Jared Sullinger was probably better than people gave him credit for, but like the Jared Sullinger, Tyler Zeller years, like there wasn't like an elite center Brad Stevens had in those years, and those defenses were still, for the most part, pretty good. So we'll see how he goes from here, but this is definitely the worst crop of defensive centers he's had in years.
So I agree with all of that. Maybe I did set a little high, but I'm also accounting for the East. You got to play the Knicks, the Bulls, the Cavs, the Bulls, whatever. The Hawks will be tough to stop. They're going to be a good offensive team. The Wizards will be bad. Charlotte, there are teams that they can kind of fatten up that defensive rating against. I guess and again, out west, I think a lot of these teams are just going to beat up on each other, so they're not going to be able to score much. So I don't know. Maybe that pumps up their defensive ratings. Okay, so maybe it's a little low, a little high. So I guess I'll take the under. We'll have to see. I think you're right. It's going to be up to Brad Stevens to figure out a good combination here and try to squeeze something out of Enes Kanter. Okay, let's say we talked a little bit with Sam Packard about wins. Vegas set the over-under wins on 48.5. So we'll just use that, Jay. 48.5 over under wins Boston Celtics.
Under.
What
under.
What do you think it's going to be?
Right around 47, 48.
Yeah.
It'll be right around the over under. If they go over it, I won't be shocked. Yeah. I think basically everything that could have gone wrong last year did. And now they don't have as much talent, but I do think there's hope that one internal development will happen with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and a healthier Gordon Hayward. Two, the feel will be different, which I think everyone needed. And three, things won't be disastrous.
It won't be a disaster.
Basketball could be fun again.
That's...
But I still think like 47, 48.
Yeah. I'll say 49 and take the over. That's what over-unders are. 48.5. I'm going to say 49. I think 49. Again, pumped up East, bad. They'll be able to beat a lot of these teams and get some cheap wins. So I'll say 49,
Things that could go really right for them.
There are.
Like totally. if one of their young guys takes a leap, or if Hayward's just a stud again,
the best, absolute best case scenario for them is really, really good. I think the Celtics have a really wide swath between their floor and their ceiling. Like, things can go really poorly. Like, Hayward could not come back and be anything close to what he used to be. The chemistry could not work. Tatum and Brown could just not take leaps. The rookies could not be as ready as it seemed in summer league. Things can go really, really wrong. Things could also go really, really right. Hayward can become an all-star again. Tatum and Brown could take big jumps. Kemba could fit perfectly. Carson Edwards and Grant Williams could be big time players. Romeo Langford could fix his shot. Like, all of those things are theoretically possible. And if all of that happens at the same time, this team can be really, really, really good. You don't usually get either extreme. So 49 wins is something that kind of fits right in the middle. But again, if things go right, there's a potential. It's theoretical and very unlikely, but there is a possibility. There is a universe in which the Celtics, everything goes right and they win 50-something games.
This is true.
It's very possible. Certainly feasible.
Certainly within the realm.
Okay. Well, we hope you've all enjoyed this completely fabricated podcast here at the end of July. We're going to keep trying as things materialize or don't materialize to give you things to listen to on your way to work, because Lord knows Sports Talk Radio isn't going to do it for you. So we're here for you as often as we possibly can during this dead period. So go ahead and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. We exist on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, everywhere podcasts exist, we exist. So go ahead and give us that subscription. And if you are a regular listener, please reward our heroic efforts by giving us a 5-star rating and a good written review, and sharing the podcast when people ask what they should be listening to. Tell them the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked On Celtics.